On the show today, we have Aspire Federal Credit Union's Tom O'Shea and Member Support Services' Bill Arnold on the program talking about their recent NACUSO award win. So check it out. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. Good.
Congratulations on your NACUSO award. That's really cool stuff. How does it feel to be award winners?
You know, it's all about the little people.
Tom.
You know, when I accepted the award, I did thank the Academy.
Yeah. No, it is good to get some acknowledgement for the work and the effort we've gotten. And even though it's an innovative, it's a new credit, new CUSO type award, the acknowledgement of what we're doing and the hopefully the significance that it can have. Yep. On the credit union industry is something that people need to take a look at.
Yeah, you guys are doing some pretty cool stuff. For those folks who may not know what award you got and why, can you fill us in? Bill, you want to go for it, or Tom?
Sure. The NACUSO put together a new award this year. They took the CUSO of the Year award and really split it in two and created a new CUSO award for a CUSO that had been in existence for less than 5 years, and a legacy CUSO of the Year award.
Gotcha.
For those CUSOs that had been in business for longer than that. And we were chosen to receive the new CUSO of the Year award.
Congratulations. Tell us what Member Support Services is all about. Because, I mean, Tom, we've talked about this in the past, what these three credit unions are doing and then what you guys plan to do for the credit union industry. So if you can fill us in on that as well, that'd be awesome.
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of the background of how we came up with the company and, and what we are all about and what we're trying to do. The company basically started when myself and Leo Ardeen, who is the CEO of United Teletech Federal Credit Union here in New Jersey, were commiserating over a couple of beers about down in Washington at the end of the GAC several years ago about how difficult it was to continue business, how much time we spent on non-revenue producing, non-member benefiting systems, operations, procedures, and all. And we both knew there had to be a better way. And as we were talking, we started thinking through this and felt that the collaboration, which we had been reading about, I had been studying, and we felt that the collaboration between the two of us would be a great way to take those routine procedures and processes and make them highly efficient, make them far more efficient than we were by combining resources. We also felt that the two of us couldn't do it alone, so we enlisted a third friend of ours, Andy Jaeger, who's the CEO of Credit Union of New Jersey.
Yep.
And we said, you know, we convinced him to join this adventure with us and start the company. And really what the company is about is taking the non-member touch points and becoming as efficient, effective, and member-friendly as we possibly can with them. One of the things we're trying to do too is not only become more efficient, but to buy talent and buy capabilities that we wouldn't individually be able to afford. And Mr. Arnold here is one of those because he's a high-priced, high-powered executive. So that's what we're trying to do. And we've done some joint purchasing. We purchased a core system together. And that we all knew that was one of the keys to becoming as efficient as we could. Anything I've read from Filene or from CUNA, any other organization, without that common core element, you're not able to get to the peak levels of efficiency.
Right.
You can play around the edges and have a collective or a jointly owned collections department or IT group, but if you don't have the common core, you're not going to get to that highest level of efficiency.
Yeah.
Fortunately for all three of us, we were all coming up on contract renewals. We were all not happy with the vendors we had, not only the core, but the ancillaries and the other services. So we spent the first 2 years of the company in finding and converting to a new core system. And we concluded that the third credit union converted in November of last year. Bill came on shortly around that time.
Right, came in October.
October, because we knew we were at that point now ready to ramp this up and move forward. And now we're consolidating some departments. We're continuing to do some joint purchases. We have a lot of exciting, stressful things on our agenda for the next couple of years.
Yeah, all that stuff keeps us really young, right?
Yeah, it sure does.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, Bill, do you want to add anything to that?
You know, just that I'm really glad to be here. I think I bring the right skill set in terms of the efficiencies, the technology background and understanding, to the company to really help drive a lot of that efficiency activity. I think we have an opportunity to make a huge difference in the industry as a whole.
So let's step back here a second, Tom. I mean, since the latest credit union converted in November of last year, how has it been? Now all three credit unions are on the same core. How has that, or you can even answer this as well, Bill. I mean, how has life been, I guess, is the beckoning question.
Well in a broad sense, life on the new core has been great.
Yeah. Everybody seems to agree on that. Yeah.
Yeah, we all agree that the core has been a really good success, a really great success for us, and we're really happy that we made that move to this core. Now the heavy lifting, the hard part comes in, and the heavy lifting of getting our departments aligned, our procedures aligned, our policies right. in general aligned, so that we can take, like, the first unit we took is we took the collections department and we consolidated them here to member support services offices. And now we have one collection manager and one team of collectors mm-hmm. that are working for the three credit unions.
Right.
And part of the issue now is the different systems where we have a couple of contracts mm-hmm. that are still outstanding that we, you know, obviously we need to respect those. Mm-hmm. But over time, we'll be consolidating onto common common collection platform in yeah. this example. So it's been a lot of hard work to try to align things. And what I found, I keep coming back to the main objectives of the CUSO. And between the three of us, we want to act like a $1 billion shop. So we want key ratios and metrics that reflect a $1 billion credit union.
Makes sense.
So I don't care if my procedure was we sent a collection letter at day 5 and we made a phone call at day 8 and then another letter at day 15. None of that to me matters. What matters is getting to X delinquency and Y charge offs.
Yep.
And the expense of operating that at least a third, that the mandate we've given the bill is cut our operating expenses for any particular department by 33% when we move into the CUSO.
Okay.
So we stay with those broad strokes and we stay out of the weeds. He knows he needs to design the department to meet those goals. And if that means a phone call every day and operating from 8 to 8, I don't care.
Right.
Save me money and make me money.
Well, just like, you know, it's a perfect example. This month happens to be a month where the month ends on the weekend, right? And so I said to the lead of collections this morning, you guys are working on Saturday, right? Because it's a collection day, right? That's going to make a difference in the credit union's lives, whether or not if you were running your own collectors, they'd be working on Saturday. So he was like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. And I was like, well,
surprise.
Guess what? You guys need to figure out who's working on Saturday because somebody is. Yeah. You know, we need to make those. And to Tom's point, you know, the credit unions don't individually need to worry about that, right? They should be holding us accountable for results.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get to.
So
as long as we give up on that control, if you will,
mm-hmm.
And focus on the big picture, we're okay.
Yeah.
So how does it work? I mean, do the three credit union leaders meet with you, Bill, and discuss issues, trends, next steps on projects and things like that? Is that essentially how it works? And then you move forward with it?
Yeah, the three CEOs are the board of managers that I report to.
Okay.
And so we meet every 4 weeks, go through operational activities, where we are in the stand-up of business units, mm-hmm. Really, it's a far-ranging discussion. Right. We usually spend about 4 hours together every fourth week, and then we have a mid-cycle conference call that usually only lasts about an hour mm-hmm. to just kind of, you know, checkpoint things that came up in the board meeting and that are kind of, you know, for follow-up.
And I guess because it's a small company, the board has to be more involved yeah. in things than we would normally
in the beginning. Yeah,
get involved in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, the other thing we do on a broader scale is we have a strategic planning session
mm-hmm.
each year. So we had one last fall, and we try to coordinate that around the planning sessions for each of the three credit unions,
mm-hmm.
so that we can have our sessions, and then we can bring to the CUSO our projects and our needs and see if there's common ground between the credit unions and if there's a way that the CUSO can support that particular initiative that we might have. Right. And there'll be things that fall nicely into that bucket. And there'll be other things that we have to do more on our own.
So now are you going to, now future plans, now that you have this up and running and things are running, starting to run smoothly and stuff, how are you going to market this service or whatever you want to call it to other credit unions out there? Is that the idea, or are you just going to kind of keep it with the three of you guys?
We have two objectives towards that. One is we'd like, right now there's only three owners. We'd like to increase the ownership to five or six credit unions.
Okay.
Somewhere, that's our general idea.
Okay.
Initially, we thought we wanted to get to the $1 billion mark and about 100,000 members collectively. Mm-hmm. That number, we've increased that number a bit to maybe 2 billion or more in ownership. But we also, as an additional phase to our plan, have in mind the idea of selling some of our services to other credit unions. Right. So there could be small credit unions that would be a really good fit for what we're doing, but don't have the financial resources to support the company or the human resources to participate. But you know, we could help them out. And you could talk about when we brought you on about our conversation about saving the world and things.
Bill, where's your cape? Save the world.
Well, you know, I try not to wear the cape.
Under the shirt.
Big ass, you know. It's funny. There's a I'm a bit of a zealot for the credit union movement, right? And I really believe that we have an opportunity to, at least as a model, to help save a lot of credit unions who, you know, otherwise might be in a situation where they are forced to merge, whether they want to or not. Mm-hmm. There certainly are lots of valid reasons for people to merge and to make those decisions. I'm not trying to take that away from them. But I think that if a credit union is in a position where they could be helped by offloading some of their activities, mm-hmm. if we have the capacity to do that or to model how they could do it with their own peers, then I think that's a huge value to the industry as a whole. And so for me, that's kind of what gets me out of bed and brings me here every day, is that modeling and that activity that can make a huge difference. And so we look, you know, the things that are easy are things like collections is an easy thing to take on as a third party service, mm-hmm. whether you're invested in the ownership of the CUSO or not. That's an easy service to provide. Mm-hmm. One of the ones where we're already getting calls and it's not really a thing that we do yet is information security type consulting, where smaller credit unions are getting, you know, information from the NCUA or their state examiners and they're wanting to know, you know, how do we respond to this? What do we do? What are our options? Mm-hmm. And while we don't have a product set around that, we do offer to help wherever we can, you know, to try to fill those needs.
Gosh, I mean, when I first heard about this a couple of years ago, Tom, when we talked about it and stuff, I was just like, this just opens the doors for so many other credit, especially the smaller ones like you were alluding to, Tom. I mean, Bill, with them needing outside resources to help with, just the regulation overload alone, mm-hmm. they would definitely need help with amongst other processes and procedures. I think this is just such a great answer for them. And I thought this was such a great story. And I'm so glad you guys are being recognized for what you're doing. So it's when I saw this award, like, gotta have those guys back on, my gosh, to tell everybody what's going on. So it's really
cool. We need him to do our marketing.
I have to tell you, Mike, this is really hard. What we're doing is really stressful in our own shops and really hard, because when we take, it's easy for us to sit and say, all right, we're going to take collections and move that in. We're going to move IT and our entire IT, mm-hmm. or like our Microsoft networks, we're moving them into one shared service
center. All that this year,
and they'll be managed through MSS. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at a few other departments, trying to figure out how they would look within the CUSO if there's a fit. But when we say we're going to do it, then when we do it, we're disrupting the lives of our employees, people that have been working for us for many, many years, decades in some cases. Mm-hmm. And we're saying to them, you know, it's a different world. We can't. Interest rate environment, regulatory environment, the public scrutiny, everything that all the pressure we're under, we can't continue as we were, because if we do, we're not going to be here in 10 years.
Right.
So we're going to take your job, somebody we've known for many, many years, and we know their families, and we know their hardships and their stories, and we're going to say, you know what, we're laying you off. You're free to apply to work with MSS. We can't promise you'll get that job, mm-hmm. but we can't continue to keep you here.
Yeah.
And you know, our people are literally shedding tears over what we're doing. They get it. They all understand we need to do it, but it's really, really hard. I equate it to like when we do, I said, you got to think of it almost cold-heartedly, if you will, when we do a merger. When we look at merging another credit union, we look at the roster of employees and we say, okay, we don't need two of that, so we're going to let that one go. We're going to let that one go. We like this one. You know, we go down the list. Right. We say, we make those changes in an hour. We go home and we sleep at night. We're doing the same thing here, except we know everybody. We know their stories. And you go home and you don't sleep at night. You know, but we know, just like we did with that merger, we know we have to do it, that we have to make these changes. Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's very, very difficult. So especially when you talk to a smaller credit union, mm-hmm. they have an extremely hard time doing that. And if the board, if the credit union's board is involved in personnel decisions or management in any way, if they have more than one employee, if they have more than the CEO as their employee, it's almost a non-starter.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because we truly believe that what we're doing is what's going to have to be done for many, many credit unions across the country in one form or another, if they're going to thrive and serve the member.
Yeah.
And that's really what we keep our eye on that ball.
Well, and if you guys grow from this maneuver, then you can hire those people back. If you grow appropriately, sure. then hey, sure. come on back when we're, you know, when there's openings. So yeah, I mean, I was while you were talking about it, I said, you know, most worthwhile things are very difficult to achieve. So
Right. Lots
of hurdles. All right, guys, to wrap up here, what advice do you have for other credit unions who want to do something similar? What would you tell them?
First thing I would say is talk to people like us that have done or are doing this. We're the first ones to throw out kudos to S3 and OTS, which is a CUSO owned by Beth Page, Belco, and CQ Credit Unions. They were extremely helpful in working with us through the initial issues. And we avoided some mistakes that they made by having conversations with them. So they sort of did a pay it forward to us,
mm-hmm.
and we're totally willing to do that. We've already talked to a couple of groups mm-hmm. about that,
cool.
But talk to people like us that have gone through it and get some recommendations and advice. And then really build your plan and get good partners. And I think that was the key, was the three of us running the CUSO have known each other for a very long time. We respect each other greatly. We still do.
You know,
but and so we
which is a testament.
It is. It really is, and we're still working together and plowing ahead with this business. But yeah, I mean, that I really talked through it and understand what it's going to take and be ready to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Bill, anything to wrap up here?
Well, I think it's a commitment. I think you know these three guys made a real commitment to each other and to the success of the organization, and they invested in it sort of you know wholeheartedly. It seems like the kind of thing it would be easy for a group to say that they were going to do and then constantly hold back from really doing.
Right.
But that's not been, you know, my experience of the three of you is that you're all very committed to it. And that gives me the confidence to come to work and try to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge benefit. And I think that's a lot of what the award is about.
Mm-hmm.
I think the award partly is like an award for bravery, right? For going ahead and taking that plunge and taking that leap, you know, and saying to other people, hey, look, they did this, you know, and, you know, yeah, they haven't seen all the results yet, but it seems like the right direction and you know, kudos to you. So that's how it feels.
Cool. Great message to end on, gentlemen. Keep well done. Congratulations and keep up the good work. Let's check in down the road, see how you're doing.
Sure. Yeah, glad to do it.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
Guys. Yeah, Tom O'Shea from Aspire and Bill Arnold from Member Support Services. Well done, gentlemen. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.